Welcome to Thinks Out Loud, internet marketing expertise your business needs. I'm Tim Peter.
Well, hello again, everyone, and welcome back to Thinks Out Loud, your source for all the digital marketing expertise your business needs. My name is Tim Peter. Today is Wednesday, June 13th, 2018, and this is episode 220 of The Big Show. Thanks so much for tuning in once again. I really do appreciate it, and I think we've got a really great show for you. So this is always my favorite time of year. It's something I look forward to every year. I've talked about it on past shows, but that is the release of the 2018 Internet Trends Report from Kleiner Perkins Caulfield Beyer, also known as the Mary Meeker Report. So Mary Meeker creates the report with her team every year about the key trends driving digital, driving what companies are doing in terms of business using digital. And it is astonishingly good information every year. And this year is no exception. There's some tremendous, tremendous information in here. And I kind of want to break down a few of the key trends that I think are going to be particularly important that Mary Meeker calls out in the report this year. Now, the first of these is that global mobile and internet penetration is now greater than 50%. If you look all around the world, more than 50% of the world is online, the vast majority of them on mobile. In the U.S. specifically, smartphone penetration is over 75%. Which is huge, right? For something that basically only came into being about 10 years ago, now 3 out of 4 people in the United States have a smartphone. And as you go around the world, you know, there are certainly countries where this is not true, but on average, that penetration is greater than 50%. The downside of that, so that's the good news. The bad news is that growth from here is hard to come by. Most of the people who want internet or need internet have it. Most of the people who want mobile or need mobile have it. Most of the people who want smartphones or need smartphones have it. Clearly, that's not completely true, but it's not going to grow at the same pace we've seen. And that has implications for things like e-commerce growth. So e-commerce growth continues. It's about 14% year on year. And it's now 13% of all retail, which is great. But I'm going to come back to that in a minute, right? The one thing to be aware is that because everybody's online, we're moving into that it's all e-commerce world that I've been talking about for a while. Gosh, pretty much since the beginning of this show and earlier than that, actually. But we're seeing things where social, for instance, is helping to drive discovery. According to the research that, you know, Mary Meeker's team has done, they've discovered that 78% of people found a product on Facebook, 59% of people found the product on Instagram, and another 59% found product on Pinterest. Of those folks, over half, 55%, either bought online immediately or at some point after discovering the product on Facebook, Instagram, or Pinterest. Of the remaining 45%, that also includes people who bought offline. So that's a big deal, right? We're seeing tons of people are finding the products that they want on social, the products or services that they want on social. Half of those folks, better than half of those folks, are buying right away online. And some percentage of the folks who don't buy right away online are also buying in store later. So that's all great news, right? And these are all trends you want to take advantage of. The challenge is that finding those customers, especially as growth slows, is going to get harder. And there's a bunch of reasons for this. I kind of want to talk through this from a cycle perspective, right? So first, growth is harder to come by due to slowing internet penetration. This is something that I've talked about before when I said, you know, digital makes it easier for everybody, which makes it harder for everybody, right? The more people who can easily connect with customers is a good thing for customers, but it's a challenging thing for you because those folks can compete for customers more easily. Not just you, but they can too, right? The other thing that we've run into is that ubiquitous internet access, when everybody can find the information they want, it leads to transparency. People can find all the information that they want about the products and services that they need all over the internet, either from you through the content marketing that you do, which you should do, or through your competitors, or through merchants who sell your products and services, or through merchants who sell competing products and services. So your customers have a better understanding of the products and services that they buy today than they ever have in history. In fact, I've said this many times before, they have a better understanding of your products and services than most of your employees do because they have greater incentive to. Now, one of the things that's a natural consequence of that, notice I'm talking about transparency into the product and service. One of the types of transparency that comes from that is price transparency. Because not only do they know everything they need to about the product, they also understand what it costs and what it costs to find something that's comparable. Increasing price transparency places greater pressure on profitability. Now, let me give you a couple of examples of this. In the Mary Meeker report, she talks about how e-commerce prices have fallen online by 3% in just the past 2 years. They've also seen a 1% decline in prices offline, too. Remember, everyone's carrying the internet in their pocket everywhere they go, so they can find what the price is regardless of where they are. As a for instance, now this is one extreme example because it's not the same product, but it is a competing product in the sense of it's a substitution. On average, Airbnb prices are 30% lower than the average hotel rate in a number of cities. Clearly, that's going to put pressure on profitability for hotel operators. And you're going to see similar things, you know, when somebody can check the prices of what you offer in your store or for competing substitution products, that's going to put some pressure on you, right? Hal Varian, the chief economist at Google, this is a quote in the Mary Meeker report, has, and somebody I've talked about before, has said, we've seen how technology can make online shopping more efficient with lower prices, more selection, and increased convenience. We're about to see the same thing happen with offline shopping. So that's huge, right? Now, obviously, the folks who aggregate share, who aggregate this customer demand, can steal a larger share of the market by offering that selection, that variety, and that discovery. You know, that's people like Google, Amazon, Spotify, Netflix, Alibaba, others. Again, I mentioned before that 78% of people on social found products on Facebook, 59% found Instagram, 59% found Pinterest. What's crazy in the e-commerce numbers I talked about before was 49% of shoppers start at Amazon. 36% start at Google. Amazon now controls 28% of all e-commerce. So these aggregators, these folks who get in front of the customer first, are gaining more and more mind share. Or they control access to the customer, which raises costs to manufacturers and other merchants and also puts pressure on profitability. So you got price transparency is going to hurt profitability, and you've got controlling access by gatekeepers, which is going to put pressure on profitability. And it gets worse because they get all the data. They understand more about the customers. Amazon calls it their data flywheel, where they get more data, which provides them better analytics, which allows them to provide better products, which allows them to attract more customers, which allows them to collect more data, and it becomes a virtuous cycle from their perspective and a vicious cycle from your perspective. And clearly, they're going to start using that data with AI, which we've talked about here on the show a lot. That's going to make a big difference in helping them do all of those things all the more efficiently and all the more effectively. So, none of that should be heard as, oh God, the sky is falling, we're all doomed. Right. My goal here is not to get you all freaked out or think we can't possibly compete with these people. Of course you can. But there's some things you have to be aware. One is you have to get customers to come directly to you. We know they're going to start at Amazon. We know they're going to start at Google. We know they're going to start at Facebook. We know that that's going to have a cost associated with it. But if they don't ever come to you, they cannot ever buy directly from you, no matter what it is you sell, no matter what it is you offer. So in most cases, you have to make sure your internet presence attracts customers, and if they come to you from another source, retains those customers, gets them to buy while they're there, gets them to act while they're there, to contact a salesperson, to connect with you directly. Because you need to get the data so that you can take advantage of that same internet flywheel or data flywheel as well. The other thing you have to do in a transparent era is you've got to compete less on price and more on value. Think about how you can package your products and services in a way that makes it difficult for people to find direct competitors, to find direct substitutions. Make sure your customers understand what the additional value is and why it's worth something to them. You see this in travel all the time, where you'll bundle flight and hotel and restaurant and, you know, transportation, ground transportation, all in one to create a better experience for the customer. They don't have to go and find all the different pieces. And also a price that's harder to pull apart. So what are the value adds that you can offer customers instead of just discounting? Because if you compete on price alone, you can always find some moron who's willing to go even cheaper, even if they can't make any money on it, right? So we know that growth is going to be a little harder to come by. Things are going to get more difficult. We know that that ubiquitous internet leads to transparency, especially price transparency. We know that price transparency places greater pressure on profitability. We know that companies who actually provide the greatest selection, variety, discovery, like Google, like Amazon, like Spotify, like Netflix, etc., are going to control access to customers, which raises costs and also puts pressure on profitability, and also gives them greater access to data that they can then use to personalize and create better products and services for customers. Your job is to differentiate yourself sufficiently, ensure that you're creating the right value adds for your customers, and get them to come to you and buy from you. These other folks aren't bad guys. They're always going to be part of the landscape, or at least till some other big guy like Alibaba comes along and scoops them up or knocks them aside. But you can compete. You just have to do it in a way that's smart and works to actually benefit your customers. Obviously, I'm leaving out a ton. This is a 280-page report from Mary Meeker and her team. There's a lot of other good stuff in there, some of which we will dive into in future shows. But certainly these trends that Mary Meeker and her team have highlighted illustrate not just where we are today and where we're going in the future, but also how you can compete in that environment, which you absolutely can do. Now, looking at the clock on the wall, we are out of time for this week. I'd like to remind you that you can find the show notes for today's episode, as well as an archive of all episodes, by going to timpeter.com/podcast. Again, that's timpeter.com/podcast. Just look for episode 220. And while you're there, please click on the subscribe link in any of the episodes you find there to have Thinks Out Loud delivered to your favorite podcatcher every week. You can also subscribe in iTunes or the Google Play Music Store or Stitcher Radio or whatever your favorite podcatcher happens to be. Just search for Tim Peter Thinks, Tim Peter Thinks Out Loud, or plain old Thinks Out Loud. We should show up for any of those. And if you could provide a positive rating on iTunes or the Google Play Store while you're there, I would really appreciate it. You can also contact me by going to facebook.com/TimPeterAssociates, on Twitter using the Twitter handle @TCPeter, or via good old-fashioned email by sending an email to podcast@TimPeter.com. Again, that's podcast@TimPeter.com. With that, I want to say thanks again for tuning in. I really appreciate it. I hope you have a fantastic rest of the week, a wonderful weekend, and I'll look forward to catching up with you here on Thinks Out Loud again next week. Until then, take care, everybody.